Well, good morning, everybody. Morning, Paul.
Morning. Afternoon.
I guess it is afternoon, like just 12:01 for you guys, correct?
That's right.
Well, it's 10:01 here, so it's morning for me and afternoon for you. That's fine. Well, you guys had some excitement right there at the end of your service this morning. I was praising the Lord, man.
Yeah. Unscheduled, impromptu, unplanned for, and that's the way the Lord works.
It's an awesome thing to see someone that you know that's been through, frankly, some hard stuff. I mean, we're talking about Terry, Jeff's dad, coming down and asking to make Jesus Lord of his life, and that's just a huge deal. And I just thank the Lord for it. And that's what it's all about.
Not the hugest deal.
You know, that's what it's all about. I had a couple interesting conversations this week. My job affords me the opportunity to talk to a lot of different people all over the country, and I have the chance to talk about having been a minister for years and working with people, and it's amazing how many people I talk to that are encouraged that what we're doing online and what we're doing on the radio, and I pray that you know we have our services that are centralized, but we also have this mechanism that the Lord's blessed us with the web and the various websites and audio that we have out there. And I pray that these messages that people hear, I mean the salvation gospel message about how good Jesus is and how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. I thank the Lord that is there and it's out there and people can get it. And I praise the Lord that Jeff's dad came down. And it's one thing to have an altar call and wait 15 minutes until you get somebody. It's another thing when somebody says, "Hey, we're not done yet."
Yeah.
that's kind of a different, and I praise the Lord for that. And if there's anybody out there, as you're hearing these services and the Lord, the Holy Spirit starts ministering to your heart that, there's something here, there's something that you need to do, and that is get your life right with the Lord. Don't ignore that call, because there's no guarantee you're going to get it again.
Right.
The Lord shows up, you want to be receptive to that call. His hand is not outstretched in perpetuity. There is a time, and he knows the time, but there is a time where he will pull back, and then it'll be too late. And we see that example in Scripture. I know a lot of people may want to argue with me doctrinally about the truth of that statement, but let me tell you, if you go back and you look at Noah and the ark, Noah preached continuously as he built that ark, and nobody believed him. But the minute the rain started coming, everybody wanted to get on board. And then it was too late.
Yep.
And the reason was is that in order for us to really believe, it requires faith. Once the rain started coming, there was no more need for faith. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
But when we come to Jesus and we believe by faith that he is the Son of God, that his sacrifice is sufficient, then that's when all the good stuff starts to happen. And it's that application in walking in faith. It's through that we're saved. So I thank the Lord for it this morning. I know that's a huge blessing for Jeff and his family. And I will keep you guys in prayer as you minister to that person. Okay, so, Paul, you have anything you'd like to talk about this morning?
Well, I'm frantically looking for a passage. But it has to do, because I was kind of hitting on it and heard Steve hitting on it as well, but, you know, the Lord knows what we need, and it's his intention to give all good things to those who seek him first and his kingdom and his righteousness.
Are you looking for that passage that says the Lord knows what we have need of before we ask?
Yeah,
right.
That's in Matthew.
I think it's
Matthew
it was.
6. Let me see.
I was trying to make it fit in Luke because I thought it said something like that in agreement in Luke, but I couldn't find it in Luke, so I have to go back to Matthew 6.
Let me see here. Yeah, Matthew 6, verse 8. You want to look at that a little bit today?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. You want to back up to 1, or you want to just jump on verse 8 there?
No, you can back. Always good to back up to the beginning of a thing.
Well, you know you're in some of my favorite chapters, right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is like...
They're some of my favorite, too.
If there's like, you know, the porterhouse of biblical passages for me, I mean, this is it. I mean, 5, 6, and 7, I absolutely... Well, how can you classify them? There's so many good ones, you know? but these are some of my favorites.
They're so good because they're so... There's absolutely no natural way this stuff works in carnal. It doesn't work.
It doesn't compute in the natural.
Nope.
Steve was talking a lot, and this is, I think, probably for any of us, this is a challenge, if we're going to be honest. Our time is so valuable, quote-unquote, to us, and that's the, it's kind of easier. I think Keith Green has a song, you know, they'll write the check, but they don't want to actually put in the work. You know, there's a lot of people, and me having been one of them and have a tendency to be the same way, the Lord really expects what he expects, and he has put things in place, and the tithes and offerings actually were designed to the support of those that are in ministry as an occupation, let's say. And I don't want to get too caught up in that because we all, if we're a believer... then you're a full-time minister, period. But there are those that labor in the gospel that deserve it. If they do it well, they deserve a double honor, according to Paul. And the Lord has put forth a way for them to get supported through tithes and offerings. But what he wants from us is that 100% dedication to his will and whatever service that may be. And that may be to work a 9-to-5, take care of your family, and provide financially. It may be that you go on the road. It may be that who knows what it is, but you need to find out what that is for you in your walk. I remember you, Paul, you struggled a little bit with that decision when you decided to leave Walmart and trust the Lord and go trust the Lord for your income and take the ministry on full time. I remember the struggle you went through. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it came right down to if I was going to, this is the rubber meets the road. If I'm going to believe the Lord is going to take care of me and make provision for me, and if I wasn't trusting in Walmart to be my source, oh, good grief, there's no place. Walmart is no place.
Try that again, Paul. We lost you a little bit.
I box again.
Yeah, it looks like we lost Paul a little bit. Paul, you back with us, buddy?
I don't know.
All right, you're with us at least a little bit, so go ahead and go back. You were talking a little bit about Walmart and your decision to leave Walmart.
It comes right down to do I fear losing my provision from Walmart, or do I fear losing my provision from the Lord more? And it just came down to me fearing not pleasing the Lord, and it became another, you know, hands up,
all right, I'm done, Lord. I can't resist you. And I trust in you and your provision. And his provision has been so complete that, and his restoration has been so complete. It is in Mark chapter 10 where it says nobody has left father, son, sister, mother, brother, and picked up their cross and followed me, that I'm not going to restore back 100-fold. And I had nothing before. It was all mortgaged. And then, you know, when I said that, and he honored that, and it's been more than 100-fold because I never really owned anything anyhow. I had it all mortgaged. And now, you know, I have a deed and 12 acres and two houses and income and his provision. His word is true. And if I'm a walking, talking example of that, and it isn't because I'm good. It's because he is. And he knows what you need before you ask him.
Amen. Let's jump right into some scripture then. Because I bet you there's some folks out there that are in situations where they are probably ready to throw their hands up as well. And, you know, if you are a believer and you have opportunity, and I guarantee you that you do, when you see people that are really struggling, you have the opportunity to point them to Jesus Christ. I mean, a lot of people, they're struggling, can't make ends meet, they're foreclosures, they can't get work. You know, all these things that are tied to this earth and its and your earthly existence. If you seek to try and solve those problems through your natural means, you're never going to be successful. But the Lord has made a way for him to solve those for you if we look at these scriptures and actually apply them. In verse 1, I'll read, Paul, because your internet's kind of goofy, so I'll read, but I want you to just jump in anytime you want to, okay?
Okie dokie.
So, chapter 6, verse 1, and we're in Matthew. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, of course, you know, we tell ourselves, who does this anymore? Well, how many times have you seen the really big paychecks being handed out at a football game? Yeah. Same sort of thing, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the same sort of, okay, people give so that they can put a plaque on a wall saying they gave. I mean, there's all kinds of ways people still do this exact same principle today, even in churches. Paul, you and I visited a church one time, and I had never seen something like this in my life.
Yeah, I know.
But they took up an offering. And then, contrary to all scripture, they actually pulled the money out of the bucket and started reading who gave how much. And I was absolutely sort of just, I don't even know how to respond to that. It's like, I was really sort of dumbfounded. I mean, that really set me back. So, you know, you may not think that this happens, but it absolutely does happen. You see it both secularly and you see it in churches where this stuff is not supposed to be done that way. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. This is about faith and trusting the Lord. Yep. Last week we talked about Psalms 37, remember?
Right.
Fret not. First of all, stop worrying, and then trust in the Lord and do good. You know, trust in the Lord and do good. You know what? Alms, a lot about alms is simply making up the difference for other people.
Right.
And not being showy about it. Just making up the difference for other people, specifically financially in this case. Okay, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now I go
That's scary. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to get. That's all the reward you have for that.
I used to be good at this, by the way. Just so you know, I could give like doctrinal classes on how to pray for long periods of time. Ask my dad. Long periods of time. I was very good at it. I came out of a church where, you know, that whole corporate prayer, everybody getting around a circle and praying for hours for, you know, I was very good at it. Felt very important and very, very accomplished at that task, and realized the Lord really wasn't paying attention. He was sort of like, not again.
That's such a drag when that happens.
You know, he hears the if you go back and you see, you go see Jesus talking to his disciples, the two guys that came down to the synagogue to pray, the one publican beating on his chest, you know, and then the one Pharisee or scribe or whoever religious guy says, you know, thank you God, I'm not like this guy. Jesus said, you know, the publican left justified.
Right.
The other one remained in his sin.
He had his reward in full. That's what it says here.
So, I mean, if we are going to be, if we want our prayers to have impact, it has to be in faith. And then that is, we have to put things in the Lord's hands, trust him, submit to him, and actually put into practice the things that his word tells us to do. You started to get there, and I think you're looking for Galatians where it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
There you go, yeah.
You know, if we spend time focusing on those things that God has given us to do, we don't have time for all the things we're not supposed to do. If we spend our time and our energy serving the Lord, then there's no time to be doing our own thing.
And your day is full.
It will be very full. Okay, so they have the reward, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Okay, so here we're given how to do it.
Yep.
And Steve's hit on this a couple weeks in a row now, and it's convicting to me. I don't know about you guys, but it's convicting to me because, you know, he'll say how often, and pardon me, I'll paraphrase what he was saying this morning, how often do we spend time in prayer with the Lord? I mean, how often do we spend time on our knees with the Lord? Now, how much time do we set aside to pray for one another, to pray for his will in our life, for inquiring of the Lord? You know, when David was in the wilderness running from Saul, he made some good choices and he made some oopses.
Yeah.
And when he made good choices, it was because he inquired of the Lord before he moved. How much time do we spend inquiring of the Lord where he would have us go? I was talking to a gentleman, it was just this week, and the guy's kind of always been somewhat of a roller coaster, you know. Things kind of get down in the dumps, and he makes a couple strides, and things rebound, and then he sort of forgets how he got there. And so he's down in the dumps again, and then, oh yeah, I remember, and then he's sort of back up. I mean, I don't know about you, I bet you there's a lot of people that may be hearing this or listening to this message that probably have the same sort of existence. You know, we find ourselves in a bad place, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, I need to. Oh gosh, I haven't been to church in 6 months. You know, maybe that's a problem. Maybe I haven't fellowshipped with people. I haven't been in my Bible. I haven't spent time seeking the Lord. I haven't been tithing. I haven't been offering. I haven't been giving my alms. I haven't been fellowshipping with the Father. I haven't You know, I sort of, you know, I haven't picked up the phone and called him in a while. You know, I wonder why I'm out here in the desert with, you know, no water and I'm dying. I don't understand what could be going on here. There's so many people that run into that situation, and, you know, God didn't walk away from them. They walked away from him.
Right.
And if he's given us directives of how we can stay close to him, and we don't follow them, then it's really our fault, not his. Amen?
Amen.
And he says here that when you pray, don't go make a big show of it, but get in your closet. Again, it's about faith. It's about trusting the Lord.
Right.
We go make a big show about it. You know, there's this big show involved. But if we just, between us and him, go in our closet and pray, we really have to trust him. We have to pray believing. We see that in other scriptures too.
You have to believe that there's somebody listening who cares. It's easier to impress somebody who's watching than it is that you can see, than it is to impress somebody that you can't see. And it's our tendency. It's the way we are, the way we're wired. And
go ahead. I'm sorry for
interrupting. He's trying to rewire us, trying to fix that. There's a short in there. And it keeps winding us up in that, oh my gosh, now how did I get here? Hadn't been in church in 6 months. I hadn't asked anything of any other believer. I haven't had fellowship. I've cut myself off. And you keep getting there over and over again. It's when you realize you're there, you have to be responsive. You have to seek him out. It's what he says here is if you seek me first in my kingdom, all this other stuff I'm going to take care of for you.
You know you're jumping ahead, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
You're just saying is all, I understand. It's a good Southern expression. I'm just saying.
Yeah. With my iced tea.
Yeah. Verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Well, that was, again, that was sort of my MO, you know. I mean, goodness, I could pray for hours, and I didn't say much, but it was a long, you know, much speaking. I guess it was, the volume was far more important than the content. No, that's not the case. You know, the simplest prayer, the simplest cry to the Lord,
have mercy on me, a sinner,
can often be the most effective. You know, you're not going to baffle the Lord with BS. No, it's just, he sort of sees through that.
Yeah.
But when we come with an open and contrite heart to him and are honest before him, I mean, he knows we're sinners. We don't have to try and hide that fact. We read the other week I was actually on with the ladies for a little bit on Wednesday about 1 John. You know, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, the idea that we're sinners and we're devoid of anything good in our heart and that we need him, he sort of knows that already. That's why he died for us. Yeah, that's a given. We don't have to try and fool him that that's not the case. In fact, if you go around trying to ignore that fact, you don't understand grace in the first place.
That's right.
So, you know, kind of get past that. You know, if you can sit there and be honest with the Lord in your closet, you're going to have a much more effective prayer life. And then he goes on here and he says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. How awesome is that?
Again.
Lost your audio there, Paul. We'll try again.
Again.
Ah, we're losing Paul. I'll keep talking for a little bit. the idea that the Lord knows what you need before you ask, that should really sink into you a little bit. There's a scripture that comes to mind that says if we have natural fathers that know, evil fathers, I guess it says actually, that know how to give gifts to their children, how much more our Heavenly Father? He knows what you need. He knows what's required for you before you even ask. That's the kind of Heavenly Father we have. And we can go to Him, and we can seek Him, and we can petition Him. We're told to do all those things. But don't do it with vain repetition. Don't do it mechanically. That's not what He's looking for. You know, my wife, every now and then, gets a phone call. And it's the same sort of thing. How's the weather? You know, how's Naomi? Glad to hear it. Have a nice day. It's mechanical. You know, it's sort of like, why bother? And I think the Lord gets that impression from us a lot of times, that we get mechanical in it. And that's not the kind of relationship He's looking for. And that's not the kind of prayer life He's looking for. And I think it's interesting that He says, do not pray with vain repetition. He tells them again, don't be like unto these guys. Don't be like the heathen that pray with vain repetition. Don't do that. And then He goes and He gives us an outline of prayer. And, you know, I think we did this recently, Paul. I think we actually talked about this recently. We'll just go over it again. It's good for us to go over it again.
Yep.
We get to verse 9 here, and Jesus is, this is called the Lord's Prayer incorrectly so many times, because the Lord prays over in John 17, I believe it is. But this is really the disciples' prayer. It's an outline for us as disciples of how to pray and how to put things into perspective. And so He says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think oftentimes, especially in today's churchdom, we forget our place.
Yeah.
I think we forget our place. And you see it. You see as things, naturally, things are upside down as far as authority goes. That which was created is now ruling the Creator. You see that in government. And you see that in the church today. Churches have subjugated. You guys could just fill in the right word, but you
subjugated.
Guys know what I'm saying. Thank you. Subjugated the Lord into a subservient role. I need Steve for these big words. Where's Steve? Maybe Hopi. Hopi with her Walterboro High School education can help me. Anyway, they've taken the Lord off His throne and made Him servant. And a lot of times they don't even realize it, but you can hear how they pray, and you can see that that's the case. But here we're told that's not the case. Our Father which art in where? Heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Reverenced, feared, respected. He is master, we are servant. Amen?
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. And I go back to the lesson the Lord tried to teach the children of Israel in the desert. And some learned and some didn't. But He gave them manna every day for that day. If they tried to keep more, what happened?
Went bad.
It was already rotten. You talk about faith every day. You know, what if it's not there? Well, gosh, it was there for 40 years. How long was it there every day?
40 years.
A long time, every day. And on Saturday, somehow, or, you know, the Sabbath, somehow miraculously, you get gathered twice as much on a Friday, and it was still good Saturday, but every other day it wasn't good. Wow. And yet they had faith problems. But this is our prayer. What's He give us to say? Give us this day our daily bread. You know, some people are so concerned about their retirement or their 401k or their investments or what they're going to do 5-10 years from now. Look, you know, the Lord says a little bit later, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. right? Absolutely. I'm jumping ahead now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Don't worry about tomorrow. Today is where you are at. You're here today, and the Lord is in the tomorrow. We learned that in the ministers' conference. What an awesome thing. The Lord is in your tomorrow. You don't need to worry about that. If you're trusting and believing on Him right now, He's already handled tomorrow. You can trust that.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread. You can look at me and see I get that and more. God is a good, loving, caring Father. And He knows how to take care of His kids.
Yep.
He is not a deadbeat dad. Despite our own rebellion. But here our attention is, give us this day our daily bread. If we could be content in that, how much easier would our existence be? But, and I'm jumping ahead again, so please forgive me. But our attention so often is on the tomorrow and the what if, that we miss the good things He has for us right now. So let's remember, give us this day our daily bread. Thank you for providing what we need right now for what we have to do for you. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So forgive us our debts in the same way we forgive our debtors. How critical is it for you to let things go? How many of us hold on to things that we don't need to be holding on to? We talked recently in Hebrews about let us lay aside the sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. The weight and the sin, I forgot which way it goes. But let's lay that stuff aside, that stuff that does so easily beset us. First of all, you're not responsible for that other person and what they've done or they haven't done. You're only responsible for you. And if you want your heavenly... What's that, Paul?
You know, the church tends to want to get off track on who forgiveness is for. Forgiveness isn't something you do for somebody else because they need it. It's something you do for somebody else because you need it. And the only way you can get it from the Father is to give it. It's not something somebody else needs you to do for them necessarily. It's something you need to do for them because you need it. You need to turn loose that stuff. And in order to receive the forgiveness, that says it here later, but in order to get the stuff, you need to give it.
Yeah. And you know, you can only sin against God. People understand that, right? I don't sin against you, Paul. You don't sin against me. I may trespass against you, and I may offend you. And you may, and surely have, offended me.
Some people have their strengths.
And yeah, exactly. You have that provoking to love. You provoke me to have opportunity to love you more each day. Is that what you're saying?
See? How good
I am. I have that effect on others as well. But if we want the Lord to look past our trespasses and forgive us for those, then we have to walk in forgiveness of others. And there's lots of other scriptures about that. We have the parable of the one servant that was forgiven, you know, a very large sum of money, and the other servant that, you know, threw a guy in jail over $20. And we see how his master dealt with that. And really, the Lord's forgiven us the millions of dollars in sin debt. And if we hold our brothers and sisters up for the tiny little insignificant, irrelevant things that they cause us, you know, the Lord is not going to look kindly on that. Let it go. It's not worth your salvation. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You want to tackle that one, Paul?
It is, you know, this is the element that trips us up, and we need it. Temptation brings about fear and hopelessness, and this promise of the inheritance of the kingdom and the power and the glory that is His is His covering for us. It is the closer.
You know, look at it this way. Thank you for vamping a little bit while I had a chance to look at it. We have Jesus, which is the Good Shepherd. And He leads the flock. Amen?
Amen.
His job is to lead them to where they are safe. Not intentionally into harm's way. And not that I think He would ever do such a thing.
No.
But here we're praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. If we look at this disciples' prayer and just apply it as headings or headlines, outlines of how to pray, we'll have a different prayer life. It'll be a more honest prayer life. It'll be a more productive prayer life. Verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." And that's the part we were hitting that couple verses earlier, right, Paul?
Right.
Now, that's pretty clear. I mean, if there was any ambiguity up above, it's certainly gone right here. You want the Lord to forgive you, then you forgive others. If you don't, He's not going to forgive you. Now, that's a black and white statement, is it not?
Yep.
And there's no sort of gray area with that statement. You know, one of the things we need to really do in our own hearts is seek those places where we're still yet holding on to grudges and holding on to hurt and trespass, and we're, you know, we got to get rid of that stuff.
Assigning our evil motives to other people.
And there's a lot of stuff that we sort of make up in our own vain imagination that people are responsible for that they aren't. I've got a degree in that too.
Boy, don't we all?
Unfortunately. But if we really want to be, if we want to sort of be free of all that nonsense and garbage and baggage, then these are the steps that the Lord's put out there for us to do it. Let go of that stuff. He goes on. Again, all of this that he's talking about is in contrast to our carnal nature. Our carnal nature is to hold people accountable and never let them forget it. Our carnal nature is to make a big show of things. Our carnal nature is to make sure we get the recognition for what we do. Right? I mean, all of that stuff is our carnal nature, and he's given us a roadmap that is exactly the opposite of what our flesh wants to do. And he continues on here in verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, there's a part in Psalms 37 that says, and thy judgment shall shine forth as the noonday.
Yeah.
You know, that which you do that is right, the Lord's going to take care of it on the backside of it. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's Psalms 37. It's a great psalm. It's another one of my favorite matching scriptures to this whole passage as far as I'm concerned. This concept of getting out of our natural man's intellect of how things are to be done and doing it as unto the Lord, just forsaking all that old stuff and clinging on to that which God has ordained, is what will get you closer to the Lord. It is exactly, expressly what we must do to walk in the kingdom of God. We cannot continue to stay in the old way in our carnal man and our carnal nature and expect to see and partake of the good things of God. It's not going to happen. And that's why you see so many churches today and so many so-called Christians today struggling with really the lack of God in their lives. Because hold on just a second. They've already received their reward.
Yep.
I just wanted to get that last part out there, Paul. They've already received their reward, so why does God need to show up any further? Go ahead, Paul.
Well, this is all about the empty mechanism of the open show of this stuff. At the end, you're not going to want to stand in that empty show. You know, you're going to want to have some substance. And the substance is Jesus. All that show doesn't do not a thing. And it's going to be exposed for what it is. The word here exposes it for what it is. Imagine in the day of judgment, all you have is a show.
And all of this flows into and through Matthew 7:21 and beyond. And that is the other part of it. We've hit this a lot the last several weeks. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It goes on to say that, you know, they claim to have done all these great wonderful things, and Jesus says to them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. And iniquity is that pride. And you're seeing sort of what that iniquity looks like here as Jesus is contrasting, this is what the religious do, don't do it.
Right.
They want to be seen of men. They want to be, they want recognition. They want the plaque on the wall for the donation they just gave. They want all that stuff that somehow confirms their righteousness and holiness now. And gives them the recognition before men. And let me tell you, according to what Christ says, they've received their reward. There's no more reward to get. You talk about an example of taking a bowl of lentil soup, a bowl of split pea soup versus a birthright. I'll tell you, which one would you rather have? But they're going after the way of Esau. Took me a minute to pull his name back out of the memory banks there. They're going after the way of Esau, which for the sake of his belly sold his birthright. And it's a very, you know, for the sake of, if your head's not truly trusting the Lord and understanding that these, we're dealing with spiritual things here, if you are focused on the natural and the satisfaction of the natural, you will also go after the way of Esau. But that's not what God's called us to do. Amen?
That's right.
In verse 19, he goes on and says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. So very clearly, it's laid out to us what this world is about. It's about stuff that isn't going to last. You know, money isn't going to last forever. Houses aren't going to last forever. Cars aren't going to last forever. Motorhomes aren't going to last forever. Boats aren't going to last forever. Nothing in this world is going to last forever. In fact, it's all reserved to the day where it is consumed by fire. The things people fight, struggle, war, kill, steal, deceive, murder, commit all manner of evil to achieve is held in reserve for the day of fire.
Yep.
And the Lord's telling us that right here. The thing that is eternal, the thing that is going to be forever, is what people don't want to put any effort into, and that's your soul and your spirit. Jesus came not to save your 401k. Jesus came not to save your classic car collection. Jesus came not to save your Star Wars action figures. He came to save your soul.
Yeah.
That's why he came. He came to save your soul. He loved the world, that is his creation, so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish. He made a way for you to be saved through his gift, if you just receive it. To receive it is to walk in it. To walk in it is to be obedient to it. And here we are told, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, Steve talks about, and you see it, he's brought it up a couple of times, and one is that those that will be rich, or they will be this, and it's not that they are that, it's that their desire is to be that. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart, that's the seat of your will. That's where your desire sits. If you put your treasure in heaven, in your Heavenly Father, in your spiritual life, that's where your desire will be. If you spend all your time building that stuff which is here, which is carnal, which is held unto the day of destruction, then that's where your desire is going to be. And if you're not desiring the Father, do you think when you meet him and he says, did you believe, are you going to have the right answer? Are you going to be able to stand there and say, yes, I believed? Or are you going to say, no, I serve the things of this world? Charlie was talking about stuff today. Boy, there's some of us that have a lot of stuff, and I'm one of those guys. I say that somewhat convicted, but I have a lot of stuff. You know, there's times that I still want more stuff. And really, it's not about stuff.
No.
It's not about stuff. It's about really having a relationship with Christ. That's outside of the natural. That's outside of all the stuff that's simply a distraction. The Lord wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He's made a way for you to have it. But you have to let go of all the stuff and get your attention off of the things of the world and put your attention on the things above. And we're commanded to do that. Over in Colossians, your favorite passage, one of them, Paul. Set your affection on things above. We can tie that back to Psalms 37, where we were last week. Delight yourself in the Lord. make your way his way. I mean, these things all tie together, and they're a stark contrast to what is, you know, intravenously fed into our flesh from a young child, which is that it's all about you.
Yeah.
That's what public school teaches you. That's what the world teaches you. And unfortunately, that's what churches teach you today. Because they've turned upside down the gospel of Christ. And instead of it being about Jesus and not about this world, they've made it about you and about the things of this world. There's churches that talk about they need to meet your flesh needs before they can meet your spiritual... Oh my, you've got to be kidding me. What you need is to have that conversion with Christ, where then the things of this world do not matter. We are in this world, but we don't have to be of it. And the world today is happy, the church today in the world is happy to be of it and in it. We can't live there.
Takes you back to Romans 12, verse 2. It be not be transformed, not by
be
the
not
world.
Be not conformed to this world.
Conformed to this world, but transformed
by the renewing,
by
of,
the
your
renewing
mind,
of your mind.
That ye may prove. Remember the rest of it?
The will of God, perfect. In,
you need me to look it up for you.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. It when it takes two people to try to quote a verse, they're really beyond their realm of helpfulness.
Out of our depth, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. We're swimming around the deep end, and we ain't good. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good. That is good. Great. Well, I can't even read it. Prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how it proves itself in your life. You submit yourself to Him to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is all how you're wired wrong. This is rewiring your mind and taking you out of bondage.
Amen. You know, we're not going to make it to the end of this.
No.
Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm going to skip the next few verses here. You guys, please, you read them on your own, but I want to get down to the whole part where we were sort of getting to today and why we started this, I believe. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is this not life? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? See, the only way you're really going to get this, we always come back to this, don't we, Paul?
Yeah.
The only way this is going to make sense to you is if you really believe that God is not a jerk. If you don't at your core understand and accept and believe in your heart that Jesus loves you, this is not going to compute to you. Because go ahead, Paul.
Because the idea that if I let him take everything and give me back what I need, then he can reward me because he wants to and he loves me and he's good. And I'd take it all. I don't want any of it. Because the reward.
Now, Paul's breaking up on us, so let me jump back in here. I want to go to verse 27. Let's see if we can get to where the good stuff here is. Well, more good stuff. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And it all comes down to this. When we take it upon ourselves to try and meet all these things, we are basically saying, God, I don't trust you. And what Jesus is saying here is, if I have seen fit to do all of this stuff for things that don't matter, how much more am I going to take care of you? Just trust me. Just put your faith in me. Put your security in me. Get it off the things of this world and man's mechanisms to try and feign some sense of security. Get it off of those things and get your eyes on me. And I speak to you guys out there that are maybe listening online with us right now or may hear the tape after the fact. I don't care what your struggle is, what the deficiency is that you're dealing with. Jesus says, I know what you have need of. Before you even ask, come to me. Seek me. I'll take care of it. We're going to get to that here, and I'm running out of time.
31 is the anti-what if verse.
Okay. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? You know, what's it say back in Psalm 37? Fret not.
Yeah.
I love tying Old Testament to New Testament. For those people that think we ought not have to worry about the Old Testament or read it, no, it's all Jesus. It all fits.
Yep.
Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles, that is, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. We just, you know, he's reiterating, look, I know you need this. I'm not saying I'm not going to provide this. I know you need it. Paul, I need you to hold on now. We're almost done. Verse 32, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's the key. You need deliverance. You need help. You need provision. It's very simple. Forsake the natural way of things, your carnal thinking, your carnal mind and your intellect, and that which makes sense to you naturally, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here's the promise, all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. How many people are paralyzed and unable to move because they're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Take no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got enough to deal with today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Paul, you have a few seconds. Go.
This is the payoff, and the payoff is don't live in the what if. Don't let the fear of the what if take you over, because he has the all in all, and it. It just hammers it through and through and through and through and through. And when you refer back to Psalm 37 and show it here, this is seeking him first and his righteousness is all you're ever going to need. All you're ever going to need.